users, use the FM Talk 106.5 app. Upload media. Choose a podcast. Listen live. Use your voice and speak up. The FM Talk 106.5 app in the iTunes or Google Play app stores.
Hour from Town Hall, I'm Rich Thomason. An update and a warning on Iran from President Trump. Writing on Truth Social, the president described Iran as being in a state of collapse. Iran, he writes, can't get their act together. They don't know how to sign a non-nuclear deal. They better get smart soon. Federal appeals court has ruled the Trump administration cannot jail illegal immigrants without the chance to seek bond.
Since last year, the Department of Homeland Security has been denying bond hearings to immigrants arrested across the country, including those with no criminal history. In a unanimous ruling, a panel of the 2nd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New York City cited serious constitutional questions related to that policy, saying it would otherwise be the broadest mass detention without bond mandate in American history. Since two other appellate courts have already upheld the policy, the case could be headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Could OPEC's days be numbered? The question follows word of the United Arab Emirates pending withdrawal from the cartel.
This is a big blow for OPEC, which was formed decades earlier as a means to control the prices of crude oil on the international market by setting production targets, and the UAE was one of those countries that really chafed under those limits. The UAE says it will be able to set its own production levels. It says it will still be a responsible player within the market, but it also comes amid tensions with Saudi Arabia. This is all coming as the whole Middle East is still reeling from the Iran war.
Correspondent John Gambrell. Two people injured, a knife attack in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood of London. UK Prime Minister Starmer calls it deeply concerning. A 45-year-old man under arrest on suspicion of attempted murder. The Dow futures down 56 points. More on these stories, townhall.com.
If you're hearing my voice, chances are you're either worried about a parent living alone or you are that parent, and you know your family worries about you too. Either way, there's a company that finally got senior safety right, Connected Caregiver. Connected Caregiver is everything you knew about alert devices, fall detection, emergency button, GPS, reimagined for today. There's a small wearable that alerts your family's phone the moment something happens. Inside your home, discreet sensors, no cameras, no microphones, just motion sensors have you covered even when you're not wearing it. No movement for hours, your loved ones will know. For the kids, you go from hoping everything's okay to knowing it is. And for you, you stay in your home on your terms while giving your precious family the peace of mind they've been asking for. That's not losing independence, that's keeping it. Visit ccgoffer.com to see if you qualify for a free device. It takes 2 minutes. That's ccgoffer.com, ccgoffer.com. Do it today.
Moscow's latest attacks on Ukraine result in casualties and damage.
Russian drone attacks overnight Tuesday hit multiple regions across Ukraine, injuring civilians and damaging infrastructure, regional authorities say. In the northeastern Sumy region, an attack on Shostka triggered large-scale fires in residential areas. A 60-year-old woman died of carbon monoxide poisoning, and others were treated for injuries. The Ukraine's Air Force says it shot down 154 of the 171 drones launched by Russia overnight, but 12 drones had hit targets across 10 locations, while debris from downed drones fell in another 12. I'm Charles Delavesma.
The head of the UN Nuclear Agency says a majority of Iran's highly enriched uranium still thought to be at its Isfahan nuclear complex. Site was bombed by airstrikes last year and then was hit again this year. News and analysis, townhall.com. College sports premier tournament on track to see a significant expansion of teams next season.
The NCAA is still deliberating expanding March Madness on both the men's and women's sides to 76 teams for next season. The NCAA released a statement Tuesday in the wake of an ESPN report that cited unnamed sources saying a decision to add 8 teams to the bracket is a mere formality that's expected in May. The statement said, quote, no final recommendations or decisions have been made, end quote. The tournaments have been at 68 teams since 2011, when 4 play-in games were added to the first week of play. I'm Geffen Coolball.
Britain's king and queen travel to New York City today. They'll meet with first responders, victims' families at the 9/11 memorial site. Reflecting on the attacks of 25 years ago, King Charles says, "We stood with you then, we stand with you now." More on these stories, townhall.com.
FM Talk 1065, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with a few afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be in the upper 80s. Tonight, showers and a few thunderstorms are likely with lows in the upper 60s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a few showers and thunderstorms and highs around 80 degrees. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 1065.
I'm Matt Simpson, and it's been an honor to serve District 96. As your representative, I've fought to protect families, defend parental rights, and support law enforcement, standing for the conservative values that make Baldwin County strong. I helped create Baldwin County's mental health corps, pass tougher penalties for fentanyl traffickers, and strengthen laws to protect our children. I've championed school choice and tax cuts for families, delivering real results for District 96, and there's still work to do. On May 19th, I'd be honored to earn your vote. Paid for by Committee to Elect Matt Simpson. PO Box 1791, Daphne, Alabama, 36526.
Good morning from the Pro 10 Window Tending Traffic Center. Eastbound I-10 between Range Line and 65. You've got heavier traffic. Also Cottage Hill and Azalea, Old Shell and Spring Hill and 65. And westbound I-10 across the Bayway. Delays continue through Malvis off of 31 and 181. At Kirk Doctor in Theodore, they've got the new gas EFI QuietTech Yamaha Drive 2 and 6 passenger golf carts. Great for family and industrial settings. Next to storage under two bench seats means you'll never have to make a second trip. See them at KirkDoctor.com. And I'm Kane with the FM Talk 106.5 Traffic.
News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Here we go, 807 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Pretty sizable change in that forecast coming up here with temperatures in the upper 40s on Saturday night,
Sunday morning. Yeah, and we'll be in the like around 70 for the high on Saturday. Yeah. That'll be after potentially quite a bit of rain moves through. Yeah. That forecast for the rain has changed throughout the week as well. We were expecting some coverage, but as of Dr. Bill's report this morning, we're going to get a lot more coverage than we thought earlier in the week, beginning tonight. Beginning this evening, really. We need that rain. We're more than 12 inches below average for the year already, so all that's right. Good news.
Dan and Dalton, and more politics. We have someone who's not only running for Baldwin County Commission, she's also a member of that commission as we speak.
That's right. Commissioner Billie Jo Underwood joins us this morning. She represents District 3 on the Baldwin County Commission and is now running for re-election in what's shaping up to be a quite the primary we have on our way, May 19th. I think the deadline to register to vote is May 4th, so keep that in mind as we get ready to head to the polls next month. Commissioner Underwood, thank you so much for coming on with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So we've talked so much, not just with these elections, but obviously over the years, about how fast Baldwin County is growing. And the big topic is always infrastructure and whether or not it's the county is keeping up with that infrastructure or not. How do you feel the county is managing that massive amount of growth that's coming into Baldwin County?
Well, actually, I think that we've worked really, really hard, and I want to just give a shout out to our county staff because they are the ones that are actually the boots on the ground, and we commissioners are the ones that approve the budgets and, you know, sort of help guide what we do. But we do have a lot of things going on, and people, I think, sometimes just, you know, they use the buzzword infrastructure, but we have done a lot of things in roads, drainage, infrastructure improvement. The county commission itself doesn't own any utilities, but we do have, we've improved our subdivision regulations so that when new developments come in, we are actually checking that and not just, you know, allowing a utility company to say that they are, you know, give us a willing and able to serve. We actually verify that they are willing and able to serve. But, you know, we have resurfaced 436 miles of county roads. We 76 major drainage projects. There's all kind of statistics I could throw out at you of things that we've actually done. And if people haven't noticed recently, we're resurfacing some of the major thoroughfares like County Road 32 from east of the Beach Express. We're actually using a better mix than they were using in the past, and it's just, I mean, it's like smooth as it can be. I had to ask our county engineers. I said, man, this road is so smooth. What are you guys doing? And they said, we've actually improved what we use. We're not using what LDOT used to, used that only lasted like maybe, 5 to 8 years on these major roads. And I kind of equate it to like, I sometimes make cakes and icing cakes and you have to smooth out the dips in the cake. And I've seen some of the processes that they've done. They've come in and paved a little stretch and kind of smoothed out the bad bumps. And then that last coat that goes on it has just been so smooth. I would encourage you guys, I would say County Road 48, east of Walmart all the way towards Silver Hill. Those are two of the roads that I have noticed that have this new resurfacing on them. And those are heavily traveled county roads in our county. And so we're doing a good job of resurfacing and improving the drainage project so that when we do have major disasters, so it's a lot of things that, I've always said, this is not to be an insult, but people don't know what they don't know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I wish they would just ask us. We try to put out, on our Facebook page, we started putting out the processes that we use when we do a lot of this infrastructure project.
Mm-hmm. We've heard about east-west corridors in Baldwin County from a number of those running up for the commission. So it's definitely a point that you guys are conscious of and concerned about. You also worked as a member of the Summerdale Planning Commission for a number of years. Take us back to the days you were there, and how different were the conversations, or were they different at all, say, 20 years ago?
Well, Baldwin County's been growing steadily, but, my brother was the mayor of Summerdale for 33 years, and it's really hard to get people to be on committees. And so back in 1996, he was like, look, I really need somebody to serve. I just can't get anybody to serve. And so I got on the planning commission in the town of Summerdale in 1996 and served all the way until I was elected as a county commissioner in 2018. And then simultaneously from 2008 to 2012, I served on the county planning commission. Mm-hmm. Collectively, I've got a lot of experience on planning commissions, and that's probably what led me to here. But there was a lot of growth starting to happen back then. People weren't looking at the same things they're looking at now. And then, so the time frame that I'm talking about at the county was when the recession was starting in our area, 2008 to 2012. And of course, we had the oil spill in 2010, but it didn't take long to rebound after that. Baldwin County saw a little bit of a dip in, property values back then, but somehow or another we got rediscovered and the people have been pouring in here ever since. So from 2010 to 2020, we grew steadily, and now we're growing about 7,500 people per year, and Foley's really growing. I see more growth coming in that area than anywhere in the county right now. I mean, yes, Belfour, that the Eastern Shore has grown, but I think the pace of Foley is really the area that is growing. But that's inside their city limits more than outside in the county. But what we're seeing more now is people are starting to think about, land use here in Baldwin County. Mm-hmm. And it's a hard topic because we're a primarily a property rights state here in Alabama. And zoning is available in the unincorporated parts of Baldwin County, but it's a citizen-driven process. And it's a very complex process that, in my personal opinion, I don't know how to fix it, but it's got a lot of complexities in it. So.
Yeah, so the conversation, and by the way, we're talking with Baldwin County District 3 Commissioner Billy Joe Underwood running for re-election, that primary coming up May 19th. Make sure you're registered to vote and ready to go. Your district, so District 3, that's basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's kind of that from Loxley and Silver Hill east, working through much of central and eastern Baldwin County, and Foley is part of that district, right? Is it kind of carved out into District 3? Is that correct? Or no?
North Foley.
Okay,
really,
North Foley.
Foley's not my district, but gotcha. We serve countywide. We just have to live in a district, and a lot of people are confused about how all that works over here in Baldwin County, but it's a really good conversation that would probably take more time than you and I have this morning, but It's I like the fact that we serve countywide, because then you don't just focus on your district, and we do have representation from all parts of the county. If we were run by a district, then it would have to be equal or minus just a few percentage points on population. And our population is very skewed here in Baldwin County. So by running countywide, you just have to live in a geographic area. But then all the voters in Baldwin County get to vote for all four of the county commission seats. And so I really think that that's important, because an issue that might be happening up in Stockton right now, because we don't get into that. But you know what? That's just as important to me and the other commissioners as it is the District 1 commission.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because you talked about the growth on the Eastern Shore, Foley, the beach, obviously. These more rural areas, now they're growing too, and quickly, but facing a different set of problems. And I doubt, you know, 15 years ago, we would have been talking about the incoming data centers and then, yes, the potential for solar farms to move into the area. You mentioned some of the zoning discussions that are taking place in more, some of the more rural parts. The Baldwin County Commission, you guys have been providing commentary on this big Stockton solar project along the way. Just from the grand scheme of things, we don't have to dive into that particular story, but is there some kind of planning that you guys are doing, or that needs to be done for future stories that we may get? Like, hey, by the way, so-and-so is bringing in this massive data center. And by the way, this person's bringing in a solar farm. How do you kind of soothe the nerves of some of those in the county who are worried that they're behind the book, I guess? They're not keeping up with these companies that are moving in before they have a time to provide commentary on it, if that makes sense.
Well, it does make sense, and I think that there's a lot to be concerned about here. So the law is the law, and we have very limitations as a county commission. And in the unincorporated areas, really our main authority lies in subdivision regulations, and that's more along the lines of when you start to subdivide a piece of property, it doesn't necessarily mean a tract home development. It's any subdivision. So we have the authority over subdivisions. We also have the ability to regulate some things that happen in wetlands. I can't really quote all that off the top of my head.
Right.
But as far as we're actually looking into, we've been requested to put a moratorium on wetland areas, on solar farms, and we're actually researching to make sure we have the authority to do that. It's very complicated for county government. We don't have something with a terminology that's called home rule. Most people don't understand what that means. It means that we don't have the ability to make law. And so we're very dependent upon the legislature to, they're the ones that give us the authority that we have. Cities, on the other hand, by state statute, have the ability to create, you know, their own ordinances, which ordinance is a law. And one of the things that I try to remind people is that, you know, we want to help protect people as much as we can, but we do have limitations, and we're definitely looking into that. Now, those areas in North Baldwin County may be seeing things like, you know, solar farms and those kind of things come about, but there's not infrastructure per se up there, such as sewer and, you know, I think there may be water and different, you know, there's not the things that you would normally see where development's going to occur. So I think that there's still a little bit of, this is just my personal opinion, I don't think that development as far as, you know, increasing population is really coming, but it's, you know, and what I've heard is that, you know, they don't just put solar farms just anywhere. There has to be a power connection available. So there's a lot of places that people think it may suit a better, purpose. But this is not just a Baldwin County issue. This is a nationwide issue. Wow, I was at NACO, which is a National Association of Counties, back in February, and we were in a mid-sized county caucus, which is what Baldwin County is considered out of the little over 3,000 counties across this nation. And, you know, we were listening to some people who are county commissioners outside of, like, D.C., which is in the Virginia area, and they're like data centers are what's taken over their area. But, you know, we're all using this new technology, and I really don't, I'm a CPA. I am a data and facts kind of person.
Yeah.
And so I really try not to dwell off in the things that may or may not be. I really try to focus my decisions on facts. And so I really try to follow the law. I'm a rule follower by nature, just from what I do for a living outside of being a commissioner. And so I really, you know, want to help, but we are limited as to, you know, what our authorities are.
You're a lifelong resident of Baldwin County. Do you want to remain the commissioner for District 3, Billy Joe Underwood? What role or what advantage, let me ask, is being a certified public accountant? How have you used that to help serve the citizens in your two terms so far?
Well, I believe that being a certified public accountant is something that brings, you know, I understand financial statements. I believe that brings fiscal responsibility to the county. I think that it it exudes integrity and different things like that towards, you know, making sure. I don't think people are want to pull the wool over my eyes, okay, when they want to present budgets and things like that to me. I do question things, but in general, I don't hold back. I make sure that, you know, we understand when, you know, budgets come before us, and we have really changed our budgeting process in the last few years. It's much better than it was when I first got there, and it wasn't me that did it. I just challenged our staff, and along with the other commissioners, and our administrator is actually a CPA and some of our top people. So I really think that, you know, people say, well, what does a CPA make a difference? Well, you know, that's a very hard test to take. And if you can do that, I think that's a testament to the public that you do exude the confidence and competency to you know, have a higher standard of handling the taxpayers' money and being a good steward of the taxpayers' dollars.
Commissioner Billy Joe Underwood, we're going to hit the break really quickly, hit the news and a short break, and we'll come back and continue this conversation. Billy Joe Underwood running again for re-election for Baldwin County District 3 Commissioner.
Any questions for her, go to the text line, right? 251-343-0106.
Commissioner Underwood, we'll be right back with you. This is FM Talk 106.5's Mobile Mornings.
Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Shimani Baker for WKRG News 5. A man is in Metro Jail this morning facing 8 capital murder charges in connection to the killings of a woman, her son, and her pregnant teenage daughter in Wilmer. 54-year-old William Oliver is accused of the brutal murders of 46-year-old Lisa Fields, her daughter, 17-year-old Keziah Luker, and 12-year-old Thomas T.J. Cordell Fields Jr. All three were found bound and killed in their home on Auble Moody Road in Wilmer during the early morning hours of April 20th. Plans have been approved for a new animal shelter in Mobile. The city council voted to use Mobile-based Rogers and Willard to renovate the old Trinity broadcast station that the city bought on the I-65 West Service Road. The contract is $6.3 million. The new shelter will replace the existing shelter on Owen Street. Mayor Spiro Chirogata says he wants to break ground as soon as possible. I'm Shimani Baker for WKRG News 5.
With the new Amtrak service along the Gulf Coast, more passenger trains are moving through our area. On Law 251, Desi Tobias with Tobias and Comer Law says drivers need to understand something important.
The speed limit for trains is 10 miles per hour in urban areas, whereas where this collision occurred, it was going 44 miles per hour, which is the speed for crossings. Those trains actually go up to like 80, 85.
And no matter the crossing,
the railroads always have the right of way. If it's a crossing, they have the right of way.
Always.
They always do.
There's also something many drivers don't even notice.
There's a blue sign, and if you look, you'll see a phone number there. That's to contact if there's any kind of problem. You can call that number, and it will alert the railroad quickly about what's going on.
As rail traffic increases across Alabama and the Gulf Coast, awareness matters. For more safety information or if you've been injured in a railroad-related accident, call Tobias and Comer Law, 251-432-5001, or visit tobiascomerlaw.com.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.
Work Trucks, that's Trucks with an X, has over 75 trucks and vans on their Airport Boulevard lot. Well-maintained commercial vehicles of all types, from pickups, vans, box trucks, dump trucks, water trucks, mechanics trucks, the options are endless. Over 200 units between their three locations, so Work Trucks has what you need when you need it. See the inventory, 7320 Airport Boulevard. Visit us online at worktrucksllc.com or call 342-4150. That's Work Trucks with an X. We're all about trucks.
Detail like a pro at Big Tuna Car Wash. Oversized vacuum stalls with crevice tools, flathead vacuums, dusting wands, all-purpose spray cleaner, and microfiber towels. Everything you need to get your car looking right. Big Tuna Car Wash, Mobile's most state-of-the-art car wash.
Dan Brennan here, inviting you to join the community at Legacy Oaks at Spring Hill. You'll find everything you need to live the convenient and carefree lifestyle you deserve. If you're looking for your next home in Mobile, hey, I found it at Legacy Oaks. It's a charming community of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartments located in the heart of the city just off Dauphin and I-65. Inside the spacious floor plans, you'll discover cozy interiors complete with gas range, a gas fireplace, and each unit comes with an attached garage. Outside your apartment, you'll love the amenities like pool and a clubhouse that includes a conference room and workout center. These provide the perfect opportunity to relax and enjoy the company of neighbors. As a resident of Legacy Oaks at Spring Hill, you'll also enjoy easy access to the area's most popular shopping, dining, and entertainment destinations, and still minutes from downtown. Reach out today for more information. Call 251-344-8099 and find out more at LegacyOaksAtSpringHill.com.
Listen each Sunday at noon for Coasting in Retirement with Josh Null, president of Gulf Coast Financial Advisors, discussing the right tips and tricks for you to achieve the retirement of your dreams. Sunday at noon on FM Talk 106.5.
Good morning from the Olden Credit Union Traffic Center. Working wrecks at Snow Road North at Tanner Williams, Providence Park South at Pine Run, and Desiree Drive South at West I-65 Service Road North. Delays continue westbound I-10 on the Bayway and eastbound I-10 at Rangeline. Turn your home into an oasis with the All-In Credit Union's Home Equity Line of Credit with no closing costs, appraisal, or annual fees. Visit allincu.com for more information and apply for your home equity line of credit today. And I'm Kane with the FM Talk 106.5 Traffic.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Our guest is Billie Jo Underwood. She's running for re-election in Baldwin County on the commission, District 3. She's been there since 2018.
Yeah, and been in Baldwin County her entire life, so she has been very aware of the changes over the years. And Commissioner Underwood, I've asked this of every candidate, regardless of what office they're running from, but when you've been out meeting people, talking with folks leading up to this election, what's the number one thing, or maybe there's a couple, that they bring to you and say, hey, I have a problem with this, what are you guys doing to fix it? What seems to be the number one discussion starter as far as your constituents are?
Well, I think growth is probably the one word, and most of everything follows behind growth. And I think that a lot of people just don't really realize the opportunities that we have had with growth, and I try to emphasize that, and I try to talk about how there are 67 counties in the state of Alabama and only a handful are experiencing any growth at all, and that we have to look at the positives that come along with it, because we certainly can't stop it, but we have to manage it responsibly and be harmonious with the existing, uses that are here in this county of land use. And so I think that we have things that people take for granted. We have good schools, we have good health care, we have good public safety. And some of the inconveniences that people have, I think that some of the people like myself who have lived here for, generations, and my family's been here for a long, long time, along with my husband's family, we're used to pulling up to a rural area where there's a four-way stop sign, looking both ways and proceeding with no other cars, and we're just not used to being the fifth or sixth car in line. And I know there's other areas where you might be the 10th or 15th car in line, but our engineers are very, very good, and their goal is to move traffic safely, and I think for the most part we do. And when we, hear complaints, I think that, a lot of it's just going off of misinformation, but growth, everything revolves around growth, and I think that we're doing that very well. When I was in high school in the 1980s in Foley High School, most of my, people had to leave. My classmates had to leave to go find jobs. I did stay in Baldwin County, but it was an opportunity cost that I had to pay. I ended up working for family, and I don't have the retirement opportunities and things like that other people that are retiring and coming back here. One of our largest population areas of growth is between the ages of 55 and 64, because people are coming here from other places, and some people are coming back that lived here, when they were younger.
I'm sure
the growth is definitely the thing, but people need to look at the good part of it, not just the you know, unsettling part.
Growth can be unsettling too, you know.
It certainly is for many people who've been there for so long. I have about a minute left here. We appreciate your time this morning. Okay. What's your final message to folks who are heading to the polls next month?
Well, I'll be honest. My first term came with a steep learning curve. It was in 2018, November 2018. And then early on in 2020, COVID hit, followed by multiple states of emergency. And then we were hit by a major hurricane. You know, we lost a lot of time to crisis management. But those moments have shaped me as a leader. And I want, you know, people to understand that experience does matter. And I want people to make a plan and go out and vote. Because if you don't vote, then people take these for granted. Mm-hmm. You get to vote for all four county commissioners, and I would just really appreciate the opportunity to serve another term.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Billy Joe Underwood, commissioner in the third commission seat in Baldwin County. She'd like to win that election and do it all over again. It's Dan and Dalton.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Accused of advocating the assassination of President Trump, former FBI Director James Comey has been indicted. Comey insists he's innocent. State dinner at the White House last night for Britain's King Charles and Queen Camilla. Today, the royal couple is in New York City. Among other places, they'll stop at the 9/11 memorial site, visiting with victims' families and first responders. Fierce thunderstorms have swept across parts of Texas, sending at least two people to the hospital. Powerful winds ripping the roofs off of homes, flattening buildings and mineral wells. That's about 45 miles to the west of Fort Worth. Virginia's Supreme Court has refused to lift a lower court order, blocking, at least temporarily, certification of that new Democrat-friendly congressional map in Virginia. More details at srnnews.com.
If you want unlimited talk, text, and data on a super fast network, Big Wireless will sell it to you right now for as little as $70 a month. Or you can buy it from Pure Talk for half of that. I'm talking about unlimited talk, text, and data for just $34.99 a month. But wait, there's more. When you switch to Pure Talk, you'll be switching to an American wireless company that's committed to keeping 100% of its customer service in this country. I appreciate that. In fact, that's why I switched. I also appreciate the way they support our vets and our skilled workforce. Dial #250, say micro, and get unlimited talk, text, and unlimited data for just $34.99 a month. That's #250, micro. Stop paying twice what you need to pay for the service you want and switch to an American wireless company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with a few afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be in the upper 80s. Tonight, showers and a few thunderstorms are likely with lows in the upper 60s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a few showers and thunderstorms and highs around 80 degrees. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
Waller Canine presents Puppy Trouble.
Babe, I think we can train the puppy ourselves.
Really? You trained the last one to eat the couch, and it still pees on the rug.
Time for Camp Pup at Waller Canine, a two-week stay-and-train just for puppies, potty training, obedience, and social skill, all on 80 acres of structure, space, and play. Your pup comes back confident and easier to live with. Waller Canine, behind the elephant, on Fowl River Road in Theodore. Book now at wallercanine.com.
This is Sheriff Paul Birch. With more than three decades experience protecting Mobile County, I can tell you I've seen what happens when law enforcement doesn't have a partner in the Attorney General's office. Criminals walk free and our communities suffer. That's why I'm proud to support Catherine Robertson for Attorney General. Catherine is one of the fiercest advocates I know for law enforcement. Her stellar track record makes her the clear choice for Alabama's next Attorney General.
Hey, it's Catherine. I'm honored to have the support of Sheriff Paul Birch and law enforcement across Alabama. I've spent the last 10 years fighting for Alabama families, and I'll continue to stand with President Trump to deport violent illegals, continue to support law enforcement, and protect girls' sports from the sick trans agenda. Visit CatherineForAG.com to join the fight.
Paid for by Robertson for Attorney General, P.O. Box 50063, Birmingham, Alabama, 35253.
Good morning from the Chuck Stevens Automotive Traffic Center. Still working to wreck at Snow Road North at Tanner Williams, Providence Park South at Pine Run, also Desiree Drive South at the West I-65 Service Road North. Traffic flow looks good from the 1065 split traveling downtown across the Bayway. In Bay Minette, it's Chuck Stevens Automotive, home of the lifetime powertrain warranty. And now, purchase any vehicle and receive a 6-day, 5-night cruise from New Orleans to Mexico or the Bahamas. See them at ChuckStevensAuto.com. You know, came to the FM Talk 106.5 Traffic.
Getting your morning moving. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Owig.
FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. We appreciate Commissioner Underwood for joining us as she runs for re-election, District 3 Baldwin County Commission. We'll continue to have conversations with candidates for office leading all the way up to and through that May 19th primary tomorrow. State Representative Rhett Marcus will join us on Mobile Mornings. He's running for AL1, the seat that Congressman Barry Moore is leaving to run for Senate. You also have former Congressman Jerry Carl running for that seat in a very competitive race. We'll have State Representative Rhett Marcus on with us tomorrow. Right now, it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine. Some rain on the way, but that's something that we need desperately down here. In the meantime, should be a nice day for most of the day for people to come out to the lot. But once that rain moves in, that website, McConnellAutomotive.com, is a great place, too, to shop.
That's right. And you know what? If you have that unfortunate accident, don't forget McConnell Collision Center, man. We got a great body shop back there. Rachel and all the guys and the girls back there will take care of all your insurance needs. They'll try to set you up with a loaner car if you have that kind of insurance, and you they'll even run you to Enterprise or Hertz or whichever one you need. Mm-hmm. And it's a great place back there. Like I said, if you have that unfortunate accident, don't forget McConnell Collision Center. We fix all makes and models. And come on up front. We got 0% still on these half-ton trucks. Got plenty of those in stock. Got plenty of three-quarter tons. And this is the biggest selection of Yukons we had. So if you were looking for that new good-looking Yukon, we've got them. Mm-hmm. Pre-owned, plenty of GM certified. So just give us a call, 251-476-4141. Let us know what you're looking for. We'll try to find it for you and check the website out. Like you said, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yeah, the selection is expansive. It's very impressive. We appreciate your time this morning, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive. They're located on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65. And that website, again, McConnellAutomotive.com.
So since the beginning of the year, we've had two multiple family murder cases that really rocked the community, right? One was in Theodore, south of Mobile, in rural area down there, the Chalk family. And I think that took about a month for those arrests to come to fruition.
It took nearly that long to find the victims' bodies.
That's right.
Sad as that is to say.
That's right.
And that was a gruesome multiple murder. And then this one in Wilmer a week ago, April 20th, I guess a little over a week ago.
9 days ago.
So gruesome as well. It took the Mobile County Sheriff's Office only about a week to find their suspect in this case, and he was arrested yesterday.
So this was a big story yesterday for sure, and it's a big story in areas in rural West Mobile and Wilmer because, you know, the crime was so heinous, and you're like somebody that committed this, or it almost seemed like somebody's, but that was part of the thought process early on because of the way the bodies were tied up and all, but it's like they're still out here somewhere, and then it's pretty unnerving to be thinking you have a killer like that on the loose.
Yeah, and the sheriff spoke yesterday about this arrest, and while no motive has been released, no explicit motive, I mean, people are guessing why, people are guessing why this may have happened. The sheriff did point to William Oliver's lengthy arrest sheet. We have that in front of us here, thanks to Leanna.
Yeah.
I'll let the sheriff, he was talking about, you know, what could drive someone to do this kind of thing. Who could do this kind of, these gruesome murders? Here's what the sheriff had to say.
Unless you live with someone for a long time, you never know what they're capable of doing or what their motivations are. And, you know, it is a shocking crime for anyone, especially if it's someone you know. It, you know, the guy has an extremely long arrest history, you know, which y'all have available, and you know, but nothing violent in his past.
Yeah, we have it available to us now, thanks to Leanna. And when you look at it, it is lengthy, all the way back to 1991 when he was a much
1990.
When he was a much younger man.
36 years ago was that first arrest.
So he was about 18 when he was first arrested as an adult. Makes sense. So you have actually some gaps in there, too. But I haven't totaled these arrests up, but it's burglary, it's possession of stolen property.
Breaking and entering.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of those. And we've unfortunately had so many conversations about people who commit heinous crimes, who if they'd just been kept in jail, like you would expect for someone who has a rap sheet, certainly this lengthy, and that murder may not have happened. This, similar to so many of those stories, but different in a way. Like the sheriff said, none of these previous crimes were explicitly violent. I mean, in a way, when you're breaking and entering, that's a violent act on its own. You're not committing it on humans, but still, you know that if someone's willing to do that, they're probably willing to push the line in other instances. But you start with those arrests in the early 90s, where a bulk of this man's arrest history lies, and then 96, DUI, and then a good 10, 11-year stretch before charges for harassing and domestic violence, and then 2020, the last time this man was arrested. That was for theft of property. And then you go another 6 years, takes us to the scene last week there in Wilmer, and now facing very, very serious charges.
Yeah, and I guess the thing that we need to keep in mind as we look at this arrest record is it doesn't mean he was clean the whole time. It just means he wasn't caught,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting, these gaps in there. And again, what do you see that jumps out at you?
Well, from the scene and the way that the sheriff explained it last week, we were wondering if the suspect knew these victims. Maybe. I was thinking it could potentially be domestic violence related. But what the sheriff was saying last week, that it appeared the drawers had been rifled through and that whoever had committed the crime was searching for something or some things in the house, which kind of fits this guy's MO if he was, you know, planning to steal from the house.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he said, what did he say? Good old community policing is what led them to him. I think they had some camera footage, maybe from other houses in the area. Or I'm not sure where that camera footage came from.
I think you're right.
And they were able to link him to that home. It said, according to Birch, Oliver knew the family and had been at the home around 7:30 p.m. April 19th. That was a few hours before police were called about the murder.
And he also, you know, you've got to keep things in place and out of public view so the DA can build the case, right? So there's things that he declined to answer. There's questions that the press had that he was like, yeah, we won't discuss that now. In terms of motivation or overall what the crime was really all about, I think that they've got some idea, but not the kind of thing you want to talk about until it gets to trial.
Yeah, until that first court date where we maybe learn some more here. I'm not sure if they've laid out exactly when he is next expected to face a judge. I'm not seeing that in the article from Lanyap. Great work, by the way, from Grant McLaughlin for writing the story up. But what a heinous crime. I'm so glad they have someone in custody. And props again to the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. Sometimes it's not an immediate arrest, but they, more often than not, eventually get their guy or guys or girls that they're looking for. And that was the case once again. But what an awfully tragic story. I want to remind you, too, Sims Softball. Remember we had the Sims Girls Softball. There was a charitable event, a tournament they were hosting last month. We had them in for. They are doing another charity tournament. The 17-year-old female who was pregnant, again, such a tragic story, that was killed allegedly by this man. She was a big part of that softball community in Sims, and so they're holding a fast pitch tournament Saturday, and all of the proceeds will go towards that family. I'll find the exact information and let you know about it in case you want to go out and help out by watching a little softball this weekend. Something that the 17-year-old really, really enjoyed. So good job from Sims hosting that. But all the way around, just a sad, sad story.
You know, looking at this arrest record, it's a record more rather than an arrest record. In fact, Dalton, because I look at a lot of these things, and when you look in the area of what was the, you know, was he arrested, was he charged? A lot of these are just considered accusations, accusation. So not even arrests, but just accusation. Though I would say at least half of all of these, he was. Or maybe more, he was arrested. But again, just very interesting that there was never any level of violence anywhere near what happened at that crime scene. And Paul Byrd simply says, you don't really know somebody. You don't know what they're capable of. Obviously, he was capable of a crime this unthinkable because, well, according to Paul Byrd and the Sheriff's Department, he did it.
Yeah. 251-343-0106. That is the text line if you want to hop on there and communicate with us. You know, a lot of local news in our stories today. And one of those stories, Dan was talking about Cooper Riverside Park, hopefully opening before Independence Day. And maybe get to, like the old days, sit on your butt there at the park and watch the fireworks for the Independence Day fireworks celebration. I think many people are excited about this park finally opening up and at the very least getting to check it out. But that goes with so much that's going on downtown right now. And these conversations of taking Water Street and making it more pedestrian friendly. Of course, you have all of the different projects they're hoping to build up there along the waterfront, which will completely change the look of the city, in my opinion.
It will.
And you also have the new arena that's going up and going up quickly. A big question has been, with that minor league hockey team coming back to town, what their name would be. And I know I was reading that last week, I want to say, Mayor Spiro was able to take his kids over to Savannah, Georgia, and check out their minor league hockey team there, which I believe is also ran by Zollier Sports, LLC.
Makes sense. They were welcomed in, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they run the Jacksonville League as well. You may remember Mayor Sandy Stimson talking about touring over there, yep, and their practice facility, and
that's right,
how popular the sport is. And I was reading the Savannah team, I think they're not even in the playoffs. They were like playing out the string for their regular season and still had a full crowd. And Savannah, Georgia, in so many ways, very similar to Mobile. I mean, you think about what the even down to the racial demographics, it is so close to Mobile. But the people over there, you know, they love their college football, they love their baseball, they're right on the water, plenty of opportunity for recreation outside of these arenas, but they're going to watch these hockey games, and that's the hope here in Mobile as well. So the big question was, what's the name going to be? Are they going to change the name? They were known as the Mobile Mystics for so long. Such a cool name. A lot of retro jerseys still out around town that I'm seeing, and I think more being made as people get fired up.
Yeah, did I see one the other day that was a new one? Is that what?
Maybe. I've seen all kinds of different twists on the Mystics jersey, the Mystics kit. I've seen like some Mardi Gras versions and the old purple version.
Yeah.
I think there's some companies that are printing them as we speak to get them out to the people.
Yeah. And another thing about Savannah is it's not as big as Mobile, and the metro area not quite as big as Mobile either. So that's one thing. And the fact that they've got these that they have sellouts at their hockey game, and I think that arena may be about the same size as Mobile, maybe around 9,000-10,000.
Yeah.
And I think that also Savannah does have a larger, without a doubt, a larger tourist draw. So you have tourists in town at any given time, and then, hey, there's a hockey game tonight.
Yeah, and they have the Savannah Bananas there, too.
Bananas now brought a great deal of attention to that city, too.
Although I think they're mostly touring at this point.
Right.
So they're just
that's
the
like
Bananas.
Being home of the Rolling Stones, but they're never home.
So I meant to pay this off, by the way. So John Sharp with an article this morning, we were wondering what the name of the team would be, whether they would keep Mystics or change it up. They haven't made the official announcement yet, but John Sharp with AL.com reporting that last year a federal trademark application for the Mystics name was filed. It was submitted through the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office and made by HWK Sports, Inc. of Jacksonville on behalf of team owner Zollier Sports, LLC. Records show the application for Mystics was filed September 19th of last year. It's right around the same time the new Mobile franchise was announced. So I'm not sure if they went ahead and patented that to keep their options open or whether what I think is the more likely reason, they will keep that Mystics name once they welcome the new team to the city. I'm pretty fired up about it. I know a lot of you aren't, and I understand why. You don't think it'll be a draw, that it'll be a waste of money, and then eventually the Mystics will leave, just like they did before and just like the Bay Bears have more recently. But as someone who likes the sport of hockey,
you do,
and has kids that want to ice skate, having that extra rink and the ability for locals to go out and skate, you know, over the winter or whenever they're going to have that available, I think that's cool. And hopefully it works out as well for us as it has for, you know, cities like Pensacola.
Yeah. And I don't know if this would play much of a role in it, Dalton, but as opposed to when the Mystics were last on the ice in Mobile, I think there's a lot more people living downtown. There's a lot more. Mm. Downtown has changed in terms of its residency. And I think that could have a, you know, if you're within a few blocks of the arena, why not? Right?
Yeah.
That could change the way things are attended downtown. You know, when you go to Art Walk, it's always a great turnout. It's in between a great turnout and a good turnout any month of the year. I think that's got to do with a lot more people living in the midtown to downtown area.
Well, let me go ahead and put our name in the hat. I know they'll probably have someone like the mayor drop the first puck for that first game, but yeah. Game two, that second home game.
Why not have two guys out on the ice?
Mobile mornings, we are ready to drop the puck.
Two guys who could fall and slip at any moment. That's almost Savannah Banana now. We're getting back to that kind of sports/entertainment.
Exactly. 850 FM Talk 106.5. We'll get to your text and also talk with Jeff Poor as we get ready for the Jeff Poor Show on the other side of this break.
This information update brought to you by CPC Office Technologies. All things copiers, all things service, CPC Office Technologies, cpctech.com. Phone 251-300-2695.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with a few afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be in the upper 80s. Tonight, showers and a few thunderstorms are likely with lows in the upper 60s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a few showers and thunderstorms and highs around 80 degrees. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, don't miss the tastiest event on the Gulf Coast, all to support a great cause. The Fairhope Rotary Club's annual steak cook-off is happening Saturday, May 9th in downtown Fairhope. Enjoy all-you-can-eat steaks, delicious sides, ice-cold beverages, and live music. But don't wait, tickets are limited this year. So get yours now at Piggly Wiggly in Fairhope or online at fairhopesteak.org. We'll see you at the steak cook-off. Brought to you in part by Fairhope Piggly Wiggly, Century Bank, Volkswagen and Kia of Daphne, and Portside Advertising.
Senator Katie Britt knows Alabama deserves an America First fighter in Washington to help President Trump. That's why she's endorsed Rhett Marcus for Congress.
He is the America First warrior that President Trump and that I need to get the job done.
Rhett Marcus has been fighting for Alabama families. When paychecks were shrinking, Rhett fought back, slashing grocery taxes, killing the diaper tax, and standing up to protect every unborn child. Rhett Marcus, Trump tough, Alabama first, taking dead aim at the rising prices crushing Alabama families and delivering results. That's why Senator Katie Britt said,
we need someone that is willing to fight and willing to actually get things done, and that's Rhett.
Paid for by Alabama Christian Conservatives and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. AlabamaChristians.com. Alabama Christian Conservatives are responsible for the content of this advertising.
Fentanyl is one of the most dangerous drugs in our community today. It is inexpensive, easy to purchase, and available on just about all social media platforms. Anyone with a smartphone, including your children, can make a purchase. If you sell or provide fentanyl to someone resulting in their death in Mobile County, you will be charged with manslaughter and face the possibility of up to 20 years in prison. I'm Sheriff Paul Birch. Let's work together in making our community safe.
If you drive an F-Series or any other extended cab truck and the back doors won't open, give us a call at Gulf Coast Auto Tech. We can often repair the doors for hundreds less than a dealership. Your hunting buddies will thank you.
call Gulf Coast Auto Tech on Halls Mill Road.
Alabama is under attack. Illegals pouring across the border. Criminals targeting our law enforcement. Radicals threatening our way of life. Alabama needs an attorney general who won't back down, who won't look the other way. That's Jay Mitchell.
I'm Jay Mitchell. You sneak across the border, be prepared to be sent home. Attack law enforcement, get ready to stare down both barrels. And stand with radical Islam, and you can Allah Akbar your butt all the way back to the Middle East.
Jay Mitchell, a fighter who will deport illegals, crack down on criminals, and ban radical Islam and Sharia law. Jay Mitchell for Attorney General.
I'm Jay Mitchell. I love Jesus Christ, family, and the great state of Alabama. And you have my word. As Attorney General, I'll fight for him every day.
Paid for by Jay Mitchell for Alabama Attorney General. P.O. Box 59371, Homewood, Alabama 35259.
Good morning from the Pro 10 Window Tinting Traffic Center. Mobile Police Department working wrecks at Cody and Airport without injuries. Snow Road South at Tanner Williams. Desiree Drive South at the West I-65 Service Road North. Is traffic flow still steady across the Bayway? Pro 10 Window Tinting at 220 Portside Boulevard in Mobile. The only shop in the Mobile area offering ceramic films exclusively. Keeping your vehicle cooler. They also offer a no-fault lifetime warranty that covers even a small scratch. Pro 10 Window Tinting. Call 802-1234. And I'm Kane with the FM Talk 106. Traffic.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
With Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5.
Let me hit some texts. We'll talk with Jeff Poor here in just a second. Killer bees on that suspect apprehended for the gruesome Wilmer multiple homicide a week and a half ago. Says he didn't exactly fit the cartel profile. Horribly sad. Well, yeah, I don't know if you're right. I mean, if he committed these murders, he fits the scumbag, worthless profile. But yeah, you're right. Matthew says, I just want to add a comment. I was downtown last night and left approximately 6 p.m., took Water Street down to I-10. I was absolutely amazed at all the foot traffic along Water Street and amazed in a good way. Lots of people out exercising, walking, running and biking. I think the mayor is onto something by trying to promote Water Street as being a park-ish atmosphere where people can do outdoor recreation and exercise. Haywood says, don't mess with perfection. Keep them the mystics. Derek says, keep it affordable and it will work. Get greedy and it won't last. And Joshua says, Mobile is only dedicated to Mardi Gras. They're not dedicated to any sport outside of Alabama and Auburn. That said, I'm cool with Mobile having multiple professional sports teams. Sounds cool to me.
All right, 8:57. Sounds cool to Jeff Poor. We find out right now. He's got a show on the way, including AG hopeful Catherine Robertson in the first hour. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
You ready for World War 12, Jeff? That's coming.
So where we're at, isn't it?
Ilhan Omar.
Up here, yeah.
Well, World War 11.
Yeah.
I hate that I haven't played that audio to this point, but what a grab earlier this week. What's the big news at 18:19 and on the Jeff Poor Show today? Anything you're covering?
It's election cycle stuff, and as one might anticipate, and I expect it to increase and intensify, but the attacks and the mudslinging is underway, especially in these tight races. I fully anticipate it in certainly the AG's race, but probably lieutenant governor's race. I tell you, the despite Club for Growth with that first salvo, man, the Senate race has been relatively tame.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a little surprised by that. But that's sort of a teaser there. And then as far as everything else, it's, we're still kind of, I think we're still waiting to see the impact that this last legislative session had. And that's going to start, some of these laws getting signed and start going into effect. Some will go immediately. Some will be probably this year. And that's what we're watching over time.
And we'll talk about that. Quickly, just a few seconds, the straw poll, Jefferson County straw poll, and how well Jared Hudson did in that Senate race. Is that something worth monitoring?
That's his home county. So
okay.
Not a terrible surprise. That's where he ran for sheriff about 4 years ago.
Gotcha.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Jeff Poor Show on the way next. As Dan said, he'll have Attorney General candidate Catherine Robertson. Also, Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 and Bradley J. with Breitbart. We'll do it all again with Mobile Mornings tomorrow at 6.
I'm Jeremiah Giles, and I'm a conservative Republican that's running for Baldwin County Circuit Judge. I believe everyone deserves the right to a fair trial, but when career violent criminals are found guilty, they should receive the maximum sentences allowed by law. I'll stop the revolving door of violent offenders being released back on our streets. On May 19th, please vote Jeremiah Giles for Circuit Court Judge.
Paid for by the committee to elect Jeremiah Giles. 306 State Highway 59 North, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580.
You get Plain Talk on Plain Living with Bill Finch.
I get asked about what kind of soil do I get at the store? And I got to have earthworm poop to make my garden grow better. And I think all you need is organic matter, the leaves in your yard. That's what makes topsoil.
Listen to Plain Living for Alabama and the Gulf Coast.
I'd love to hear from you, so be sure to call in.
Plain Living for Alabama and the Gulf Coast. Sunday mornings at 9 on FM Talk 106.5. Turning up your...